In my class, we've been talking about Christian attitudes and Christian attitudes towards various topics. And we've talked about several. We've talked about sin. We've talked about, we had 3 weeks that we did on angels. And so we've had all different types of topics. And today, we're going to do one that will basically, between Steve and I, Steve's got a couple of more weeks in this quarter. This quarter ends end of November. So I want to take a few weeks to talk about what should the Christian's attitude be towards self-care. Towards self-care. And it encompasses a lot. So when I say self-care, when you hear self-care, what do you think of? What comes to mind?
Where are you from, Christian point of view?
It just whatever comes to mind.
Point of view is dedication to the scripture, to the word.
Okay, dedication to the word.
Presentation, how you present yourself.
How you present yourself? Okay.
Mental health.
Who? Mental health. Yep, mental health. Okay. Anything else?
Diet and exercise.
Diet, exercise, taking care of yourself that way. Okay. What kind of changes?
Oh, you handle challenges.
Oh, how you handle challenges. Yep. Okay. So that's, yep. Think about self-care. Anything else?
Rehab center.
A rehab center. Okay. Okay.
Being careful where you walk.
Careful where you walk.
Yeah.
All right. Is self-care important? I mean,
yeah.
Is it really?
Absolutely.
Why is self-care important?
If you don't care for self, who's going to care for you?
Well, doesn't God take care of us?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you got to kind of, you know, he's not 100% him if you're not helping.
Our bodies are his temple.
Okay, so our bodies are his temple. I'm reminded of Luke 9, verse 23. Where we're reminded that Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, how does denying yourself jive with self-care? Are we...
The reasoning behind why you're doing things.
Say more.
Well, you know, okay, with the physical part, like we discussed, if we're caring about ourselves and aren't taking care of ourselves physically, is that so that people will look at us, or is that so that we can preserve this body God gave us so that we can use it to the best of our ability?
Okay.
You can't pick up that cross if you're not good enough shape to do it.
Okay.
There's the, if you want to say, a biblical perspective of self-care, and there's a worldly perspective of self-care, and I think they're drastically different. I mean, the worldly version of self-care is more what feels good to you in the moment, what makes you happy. And if you really think about it, I mean, self-care can be self-denial. You're doing, it's not necessarily what's going to make you feel good, it's not necessarily what's going to make you happy, it's not necessarily what you want to do in the moment. I mean, self-care could be foregoing something. You know, it could be doing something you don't want to do.
Okay. All right. So, when you go to the doctor, right, you walk into the doctor's office, they kind of look at 4 or 5 things. And they get a pretty good sense of kind of how healthy you are within like 5 minutes. Right. What are some of those things they always look at when you first come in?
Blood work.
Your blood pressure?
Weight.
Your weight?
Temperature.
Maybe your temperature?
I didn't know what your weight was at. They can tell a lot.
Your heart, overall heart.
Okay. Maybe your pulse? Okay, your age? So if they look, they go, okay, you're this old, you're this tall and this heavy. Here's your blood pressure. Here's your pulse. All right. A couple of things. I mean, in 5 minutes, not that they know everything, because there's a lot that goes on. People can look and seem have all those perfectly right in line where you might expect, and they're not healthy, right? But generally, you look at 4 or 5 things there, and it's like, you know, you're good here, you're good here, you know. Might need to pay attention to this, or we might need to pay attention to that, right? So, I rarely do handouts, because I'm not a big handout person. But I have a handout, and if I get Van and... There's at least good for one for everything. I got 20 here, so I don't know. And you can share for now, but... But I'm going to give you a, this is a, actually something I use, I came up with now, it's about 10 years ago. I use at work, but I use it at work when I'm helping people think through a couple of things. One, their career, actually. And because people always want a bigger job, all right? I want a bigger job. I say, you know, what are your aspirations? All people come to me and they'll say, you know, I want to be the CEO. I'm like, okay, do you understand what it takes to be the CEO? Do you understand the impact that that's going to have on your life? All right, because it can have an impact. While it might help you in one area of your life, let's say finances, that's a lot of reason people want to do it. It's because, hey, I'm going to make more money. All right? The higher I go, the more money I'm going to make. And who doesn't want more money? Okay, but it comes at a cost, because those people are working on the weekends. They're working 14-hour days. They're on call 24/7, right? Like, you never shut down. And you're, you know, and that has an impact in other parts of your life. Okay, so while you're gaining here, you're losing over here. Right? And so we want to talk about balance. We want to talk about balance. So let me take this through and recognize that, you know, this isn't perfect for everything here, but it's going to set us up, because we're going to look at each of these five over 5 weeks from a biblical perspective. Okay, so let's start with relational health. When you think think of it as health. Your relationships. Do you have healthy relationships? Okay. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is we're going to talk about your relational health and what kind of relationships should you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, right? So I'm not going to jump into this a lot right at the moment, because we're going to come back. That's what we're going to talk about for the remainder of this morning. And then, so when you think about relationships are important, but another part is your physical health. And so next week, you know, we'll be thinking about what does God expect as far as us? How much should we care about our physical health? Should we exercise? Should we not exercise? Is it wrong to take time to exercise when maybe you could be doing something else? What about sleep? Do we listen to our bodies? You know, why should we take care of ourselves, or why shouldn't we? And what's the benefit, of doing that? Sometimes we don't listen to our bodies, right? Our bodies are telling us. Our bodies are trying to tell us something, and we're like, meh. We just keep pushing. Okay? We're just going to keep going, because that's what we do. Financial health. Should a Christian care about finances. Are we all going to be blessed the same? What does the Bible say about that? But whatever you're blessed with, is there any responsibility? Does God expect you to do anything with your finances? Does he expect you to think about? And does finances play in your life? Does money have any impact on your life? Does, doesn't it? I mean, one of the number one things that couples and fight about, typically, it's finances. Where are you going to spend the money? Why aren't you going to spend the money? And so, how you take care of your finances and having a Christian attitude towards money. So we'll talk about that. What should my attitude be towards money? And how should I use that? Mental health. So that was brought up. You think about mental health. What do you think of when you think of mental health? So what's mental health? I'll just pause on this one for a minute. We're going to have a week on this, but when you think about mental health. Are we hearing music?
Yeah. Holding manager emotions.
Okay. What's that?
Holding manager emotions.
Okay, our emotions and how we manage those. What is mental health? If you were just gonna
problem today is depression.
Okay, so depression. I mean, mental health. When you think about the health, what's the mental part? What's when we say mental health? What are we talking about?
Your mind.
Your mind.
And processing
abilities. Your thinking, right? How you view the world, right? Some people are glass half full. Some are glass half empty. Right? And, you know, we're going to think about where does joy come in? Are we, you know, what's a Christian supposed to be like mentally? How are we supposed to view things? You think about Paul and all of the afflictions and stuff that he had and all of the things that weren't fair to Paul. And how did he go? You think about him, Paul and Silas. When you think of Paul and Silas, when you hear that together, what's one thing you think of?
In
the prison, singing, right? They'd just been beaten. So the physical piece, they were not doing well. But mentally, while they were physically not doing well and physically restrained, where were they mentally? They're singing songs of praise, right, to God. It's like, how do you do that? Right? So think about the stories that you tell yourself. Right? A lot of us, we have those stories. We have the about how we're not any good, how I can't succeed. I'm not as good as people think I am. All right? All of those where we tear ourselves down in our own head. Okay, things that lead to depression. Right. So we're going to talk about that, right? And then what does the Bible have to say and how can we overcome some of that or think through some of that? And then the last thing is spiritual health, which isn't the last, but I save it for the last always. And, of course, talking about spiritual health at work is always interesting. And so, you know, you got to be careful there a little bit. But spiritual health is, at the end of the day, what does a good life lived look like to you? What's your purpose? What's the big why? Why are you here? What are you doing? When your life is lived and you look back, what does success look like? And do you know? And are you focused on those things? Right? And can you focus on spiritual health so much that you neglect physical health. Or you neglect your family, your relationships. Right? Well, so this isn't as straightforward sometimes as you think it is. It's like, well, I'm taking care of my kids, or I'm working, right? God expects me to work. It says, you know, someone who isn't willing to work, don't let him eat. He's worse than an infidel. Bible talks a lot about people being lazy and not working. So I'm going to work, and I never see my family. Right? Well, is that what am I supposed to do? Or what? How am I supposed to think about that as a Christian? All right. So, big picture, we're going to talk about those five things, Lord willing, over the next few weeks between now and the end of November. And because we should think about what is our Christian attitude, what should our attitude be as a Christian in these areas? And oftentimes we just focus on the spiritual, which we should, but we live with other people, we have relationships, we live in these bodies, right? We live in a world that trades money. You can't get anything, you know, what do they say? Nothing's free. Okay? And so how do we as Christians maneuver through that? And also our mental health is actually different than our spiritual health. And it can, if we're not healthy mentally, we can have a harder time being healthy spiritually. Okay? They're connected. All of these are connected. Comments, questions before we... It's more of an intro. I usually do more interaction than that, but... All right, let's talk about relationships. All right, so relational health here. Look at Genesis 2. And in Genesis 2, starting in verse 15... Can someone read 10 verses, 15 through 25, 15 through the end of the chapter of Genesis 2? It's not hard, there's no big names.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was no found help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
All right, thank you. Okay, so you've most likely heard of this account before. And what's going on here? So the first few verses... The Lord took the man, Adam, right? And he gave him what?
A name.
Well, he gave him a name. Yep. And he put him in charge of what?
The garden.
The garden, right? We're told in verse 15. And so he's in the garden and he's supposed to tend it and take care of it. And then it's not like God was surprised or, you know, but God reflects on or says in verse 18 that what?
It is not good for
man. It's not good for what?
Man.
It's not good for man to be alone. Okay? So it's not good for man to be alone. And so then what does he do? What's that? Okay, what does he do first? He creates a bunch of animals. What's he create the animals out of? out of the ground, right? We're told in verse 19, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast and everything. And he puts these and parades them in front of Adam. You know, I'm sure at some point a dog came along. I don't know if you're a dog person or a cat person. That's a whole nother study. But, you know, dog comes along. Dog's pretty good, right? But Adam's like, dog's okay. As much as I love dogs, but it's there's still something missing. Okay? Nothing comparable to him, verse 20. So he creates woman out of the ground. Right? No, he creates woman from Adam, right? From man. Okay. And they're to cleave, and so this is a special relationship. This is something special. And of course, we all come from humans. I know that that's not a popular thing today, but we came from humans. Okay, we didn't come from what came from the ground of, you know, with the animals. We're different. And we know we're different because Genesis 1:26 tells us what? Just a chapter earlier. We're created in the image of God. Okay? Your cat is not created in the image of God. All right? We are created in God's image. We are spiritual beings. We are eternal beings. And we're different. So, what do you take away from this passage and you know, verse 18? When you think about relationships, what do you take away from this passage?
Okay.
Okay. It's the first thing we take away is we're not really created to be an island. I mean, think about the church. Think about the first century church, which we'll look at. Did they all go off and hide in their own little hut or house or whatever they had and no one talked to each other? We're not created to be an island. People need people. That could be a song. Okay. I know it's bad. I'm just trying to see if you're awake. Okay. The music stopped, and now you're fading on me. Okay. So
man needs a helper.
What's that?
Man needs a helper.
Man needs a helper. Yeah. Men need a lot of help.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just probably if you just flipped him, we may have been okay. But he started with the man. So the man needs a lot of help. And so they work together. All right? It's a special relationship between the two. Look at Ephesians 5. Okay. And in Ephesians 5 and verse 22, I'm not going to go through this just for time. But you should look at this. This talks about marriage, and this is the marriage relationship. Okay? About wives submitting to your own husbands, you know, husbands, head of the wife, goes through, just Christ is the head of the body. And that verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. So husbands, verse 28, ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay, no one ever hated their own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And he talks about how they should leave their father and mother, and the two of them should cleave. Does this mean everyone needs to be married?
No.
No, you can be single. Doesn't mean everyone needs to be married. But I do believe we all need people. Okay, that's how we're created. We're created that we need others. So there's a bit of a need. One, when you think about health. You can do all these other things. You can work, you can make money, you can exercise, you can be in perfect health, you can be in good mental health, you can do all these other things. But if you have no friends, if you have no connections, if you have no relationships, you also even have to ask a bit, I mean, are you really fulfilling your spiritual obligations if you have no interaction with anybody? Right?
Why would you have to?
I'm sorry?
Why would you have to?
Why would you have to what?
If you don't really, if you're a loner and don't really want to deal with people and you still sit down and read the scripture, why would you have to interact?
You can't be the influence you need to be that we're commanded to be if you're not willing to be around
people. You can't win souls if you're not around.
I mean, it can be outside of our comfort zone, and we all have to use our gifts how we can, but God commands us to share His word. And if we're not around other people, we can't do that. We also can't set the example that we're supposed to set if there's no one for us to set an example for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as we go through, I've got a few verses here, I think as we go through, we'll find that the Christian life is not a solitary life. When you look at any of the disciples, they were not tucked away by themselves. And I'm not saying you have to go out and preach on the street corners and preach in the Food Lion parking lot. And, you know, but as we move down and we think about Acts 2, 42 through 47, there at the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added. They continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' prayers, doctrine, fellowship, right? And they ate from house to house. This isn't the Lord's Supper they're talking about. They were eating in people's homes, and they were encouraging one another, and they are supporting one another, right? To do good works. We're commanded, you know, here even to worship. I mean, here's a time where we are to come together. Right. So we just need to think about that, right? That all of us, to Tori's point, you know, some, you know, there's all these scales and tests you can take, and some people are introverts. Some people are extroverts. Some people are, you know. But introverts typically have just a few really close friends that are deep relationships. Extroverts tend to have more associations and not as many deep relationships. And, you know, I'm saying that one's right or one's wrong, their preferences. But we are to engage with one another, and we are to engage with the world. Right? And so you've got to think about, as a Christian, just think about this. I'm not making a judgment. As a Christian, can I, should I? Should I, as a Christian, go way into the woods and live by myself with no interaction with anybody in my cabin for 30 years?
You can't, you know, go into the world by yourself. If you're going in, if you take it to go into the world, as in Matthew would tell, go to take his word, you can't go into the world by yourself. You got to take it to somebody.
Yeah, and we have ways to take stuff, you know, via technology. And you could say, well, from my cabin, if I've got, you know, Starlink, and, you know, I can do stuff remotely, and you can. I'm causing you to think. I just want you to think about it, right? How are we supposed to engage with other people? How are we supposed to think about relationships? There are some relationships that we have obligations to, and we just read one in Ephesians 5. If you choose to get married, you have an obligation to your spouse. You don't get married and then take off somewhere. You have an obligation to your spouse. There are certain obligations that you have. What are other obligations that you may have to certain people? Who might those people be?
Children.
To your children. Right? Look at Ephesians 6:4. We're told there, fathers don't do what? Children like this one, right? Okay. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up how? in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So what does that mean? What does that mean to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord? Okay, teach them about the Lord and his example. What else?
Do Bible study.
Bring them up right here in the chair. Be part of it.
Discipline.
Okay. All of this requires what? Some of your
time.
You have to invest in your children. Okay, so if you're investing in other things around the circle, that's good. These are all good things. But you have an obligation in the relationship bucket for certain things. You have an obligation to a spouse if you're married, and you have an obligation to your children. You can't just take off and say, well, I'm going to go do the Lord's work, and you disappear and leave the family. And I'm going to go preach and just leave my family. And I'm just going to leave and go. You got to think about that. Right? You have obligations there. You have financial obligations. You have more than financial obligations. And if you're a man, you've got some leadership obligations, right, to that family as well, right? We're told in Proverbs 22:6, you know, there the importance, that if we are to train up a child in the way he should go, what? Okay, that's another class, you know, they won't depart from it. You know, will they depart from it? Does it really mean they'll never depart from it? But the point is we have an obligation to train our children. That requires time. Okay. Is there a difference between being present and being connected?
Yes,
absolutely.
What is that? What's the difference?
You can be present anywhere. That doesn't mean you're connected in the situation you're in. Yeah, I can come in here and say, oh, no, it's important. You've got the same time to feel present. So what do you get out of it?
Present's the physical, engaged is the mental.
Yeah.
Okay. Can kids tell a difference? Can't tell you how many people at work tell me, I pull this out and go around in this first one, they're just like, oh. I hear it all the time. My 7-year-old comes up to me and begs me to put my laptop away. Right? You think about that as a kid, 7, right? They're sitting there saying, Mom, please, can you just put your laptop away for one night? Just play a game with me. Right? Do something. And so you can be in the house, but it doesn't mean that you're there for anybody. Okay, and that happens in a lot of ways. It could be work, it could be things that you're obsessed on or thinking about. It could just be, you know, it could be a lot of things. There could be mental health things that, you know, there could be addiction. And there's a lot of things that could be going on that people are physically there, but they're not there. And so when you think about your relationships, we are expected to have a connection with our families. We have certain responsibilities to them, and God's going to hold us accountable for that. Right? He's going to hold us accountable for how we engage with our family. Who always gets it right? I don't know anybody who always gets it right. I certainly didn't get it right. Right? And, you know, you ask for forgiveness and you keep on moving. You're not going to be a perfect spouse. You're not going to be a perfect parent. You know, you're going to, the world's, get back to the angels and everything else that we talked about and all of the forces that are against you, and you get away from God and you make a couple of bad decisions and things go south in a hurry. Right? But people live enough life, they know how that works. And you know, it doesn't stop us from our responsibility to then mentally just self-loathe and take ourselves right down the toilet to where we're never any good for anybody. Right?
Patrick, just a new challenge for me is learning to manage my cell phone time better. And I spend a lot of time by myself. But I can just catch myself going like, well, go do this, go do that, not this thing in front of my face.
Yeah. There's different challenges, right? So, I mean, we have different challenges than they did, than we did, not than they did. I mean, we have different challenges today than we did, a lot of us, when we were growing up. All right? Certainly different than 100 years ago or 400 years ago, but there will always be those things that are pulling us away. There will always be those things because that's how Satan works. Okay? That's how he works. So friends, right? We're told in Matthew 25, again for time, I don't have time, but Matthew 25, 32 through 46, Jesus says, when I was thirsty and when I was hungry, you know, you fed me. And they said, well, when did we see you thirsty? Or when did we see you naked? Or when did we see you hungry? Or when did we... And what does Jesus say? You did it to me. When you think enough about other people and you're serving others, you are serving who? You're serving God. You're serving Christ. And when we like, well, you know, I don't need these people. I've got God over here. God's saying, I'm out here. When you serve these other people, you're serving me. And for those who didn't see anybody or saw and didn't act anybody who was hungry or thirsty or needed help, we're talking particularly even your own brethren in the church, and you just walk away because you can't notice. We don't have enough time for relationships. We don't have enough time to notice when someone needs something. And how much easier is it now to encourage someone now than ever before? So while you're right, you can sit here and just scroll and scroll and scroll and look at stuff and this and that. I mean, you can get the whole world right here, right? But almost everybody has one of these. You shoot a scripture to someone. You shoot an encouraging word to someone. You shoot whatever. Like, how much more connected do we have the possibility of being now than ever before? So it can also be a tool to connect with people. Hey, do you need anything? I heard this happened or that happened. How can I help you? Like this. I mean, it goes instantly. Right? And so relationships are important. God is expecting us, even beyond our family now, He's expecting us to engage with other people, to notice other people. Right? We are to do good to all, Galatians 6:10, but especially who? Those of the household of faith. Do good to all men. Do good. Do. Engage. You can't do and engage and be separate on your own island. God expects you to engage with humanity. Okay?
I don't want to jump too much, Patrick, but I just have to say this out loud. With, you know, especially with doing the foster care stuff that we've done, I don't know how many of you know, but my entire job has turned into mental health and mental health response. People's lack of connection and their lack of people affects so many things. I would not believe what it did to folks to not be around people if I didn't experience it firsthand. And when you take that away, whether it's kids that you don't put them around other people, or you know it's somebody with a mental health crisis, when you lose that connection, you lose that engagement with other humans, nothing else in the circle's happening. You're never getting there.
That's right.
It is not going to exist.
That's right.
So I just
no.
I have to say that out loud.
Well, that's right. And listen, God designed it. So we sit here and we're like, oh, you know, why do I have to go to church? Right? Or why do I need to go to this event? Or why should I do this? Or why should I? If you just do what the Bible says, you don't even understand why He knows how He created you. your needs will be fulfilled.
His plan is perfect, and we uplift each other.
It will work.
It makes us stronger when we're around each other. It makes us stronger when we come to church. And that's his perfect plan.
He gets it, right? He just says, come together. Fellowship with one another. Sing with each other. Pray with each other. Study with each other. Yes, you have your own lives. You're all going to go back. And you've got your own. But we're together, right? And he makes sure that we have time together. And that we've come together. Right, we're told in Romans 12:10 that we're to give preference to one another. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. He tells us to bear one another's burdens. How do you bear someone else's burdens if you're off on your own island?
You've got to be connected with someone to know what the burden is.
And not everyone just runs up and down and says, here's my burdens, here's my burdens. Right? You need to have relationships with people where people might come to you and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. And even then, even when someone has a relationship with you, how many people really come to you and say, I'm struggling with this? Human beings don't like to do that. But we're told that we are to confess what? Our faults, our sins to who? To one another in the church. Who? How are you going to confess your sins to someone if you don't have any relationships with somebody, if there's not an opportunity to do it? There is over and over and over and over in the New Testament. It talks about how we are to be together, we're to be engaged, we're to be present. Everyone's different. Some people are going to have more energy, some, you know, than others. Some people, you know, need recovery time. I get all of that. But God created us. He knows, you know, he knows what we need. Romans 12:15, we're told to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. I mean, well, what does that suggest? We have
a relationship.
We have a relationship. And I feel, I care about you enough that I feel your pain. And I feel your joy. And I'm happy for you. And I'm happy that you succeeded. And I'm happy that something went well for you, even if I didn't get it.
I think this day and age, empathy is so lacking in our society nowadays. And I see so many young people, like school-age kids, who are lacking empathy. You know, we just don't have empathy for one another like we used to. And that's so scary.
I agree. I mean, empathy is critical. I was just looking up my next verse here. Sorry, I know it act like I wasn't listening to you as I'm sitting here. I can multitask. I can listen to you while I'm watching the television. Don't. You know, Ecclesiastes 4, I just wanted to read this one and get it right because I know we're getting close to the end. Ecclesiastes 4:10, it says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Right? God can help us, but God put people in our lives. Like, he put a plan in place. So this is part of his plan. This is part of him helping us. Right? And so we have to take advantage of that. All right. So, think about your relationships. Do you have good relationships? You don't have to have 100. You don't have to. But are there people that you can really count on? And then it's not all about you. Can anyone count on you? Can anyone really count on you? Are you there? Are you available? Do you know? Relationships are important both in receiving and giving. And so think about this week. Do you have a relational health, relationship, healthy relationships? Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about physical health. Physical health. I'm going to diet this week while we're talking about that.